again, and welcome back to the Slow Flowers Podcast with Deborah Prinzing, episode 188. This is the podcast about American flowers and the people who grow and design with them. It's all about making a conscious choice, and I invite you to join the conversation and the creative community. This podcast is brought to you by slowflowers.com, the free nationwide online directory to florists, shops, and studios who design with American-grown flowers, and to the farms that grow those blooms. It's the conscious choice for buying and sending flowers. And a special thanks to our lead sponsor for 2015, the California Cut Flower Commission, committed to making a difference as an advocate for American-grown flowers. Learn more at ccfc.org. Attention emerging flower farmers and farmer florists. I know you'll appreciate this week's guests because they are both in the early phases of launching their own floral businesses. Either you've already been there, so parts of their stories will sound familiar, or you're in the thick of building a floral enterprise, farming and or design, and you will draw inspiration from the candor that these two guests share about the challenges, opportunities, and decisions for their future. With planting and harvesting season and months of weddings upon us, I can assure you that our episode is timely. Like all of my guests on the Slow Flowers podcast, there is much to learn from what they have to share. This podcast was recorded in the San Jose Hotel lobby after the conclusion of ASCFG's Growers Intensive last month. Please welcome floral designer Bettany Coughlin of Clarice Floral and flower farmer florist Lenny Larkin, owner of B-Side Farm. Bettany Coughlin has always possessed an artistic soul. Her first career lies in singing opera, where she trained at the Juilliard School of Music. Often gifted with an armload of bouquets on opening night, Bettany frequently imagined herself in a Jane Austen novel. The quintessential professional, Bettany has given us permission to include snippets of her operatic performances, including the French art song Clarice, which inspired the name of her business. You can find a link to her professional opera site at my show notes on deborahprinzing.com. After moving to Sonoma County and reading the book The Dirty Life, Bettany was inspired to volunteer at a local flower farm to see if she would enjoy getting dirt under her nails and having the outdoors as an office. Bettany swiftly and deeply fell entranced with how stunning and heartbreakingly gorgeous local grown flowers really are. For 18 months, she co-owned Chickabloom Farm, acting as the lead designer and wedding coordinator. She especially loved getting to know her community through delivering weekly flower CSA bouquets. In the winter of 2014, Bettany launched Clarice Floral. The namesake Clarice, C-H-L-O-R-I-S, perfectly combines her two artistic endeavors, classical singing and floral design. Not only is Clarice the Greek goddess of flowers, she is also the heroine of Bettany's favorite French art song, Ah Clarice, by Rinaldo Hahn. This song has special meaning because it was performed by a dear friend at Bettany's wedding to her husband, Joseph, and it's now part of Bettany's repertoire. She continues to perform all over the Bay Area and across the country and internationally, and Ah Clarice is one of her favorite performances. Clarice Floral is a flower design studio based in Sonoma County, committed to using 100% local and seasonal blooms grown using organic practices. By supporting and building upon the strength of the local flower farming community, Clarice ensures the availability of fresh, locally grown blooms necessary to create achingly beautiful old world designs. Her cohort, Lenny Larkin, is the community farm manager at Petaluma Bounty, a nonprofit community farm that works to create a healthy and sustainable food system for everyone in Petaluma County. At Petaluma Bounty, Lenny grows lots of vegetables and a seriously beautiful patch of flowers that are sold locally, including at farmers markets in that community. Lenny Larkin will share her story, so I don't want to give away too much, but let me quickly introduce her new flower farming business, B-Side Farm. Lenny describes B-Side as a small, bustling flower farm that grew out of her obsession with fragrant blossoms. It sits on a fertile piece of land in the rolling hills of Petaluma in the southern pocket of Sonoma County, California. From show-stopping dahlias to rare foliages and simple herbs, B-Side specializes in favorite old-fashioned flowers, picked daily and bursting with dreamy scents. Lenny's Flowers and Arrangements supply a family of local-minded florists and specialty stores in Petaluma, San Francisco, and Oakland, and she welcomes orders of loose flowers and specialty arrangements for pickup straight from the farm. Please welcome Bethany and Lenny. Together, they embody a unique collaboration for people who are growing and designing American flowers. They have both shared photos that you can find on the show notes, so take time to visit DeborahPrinzing.com to be wowed by the collective beauty of their work. Welcome back to the Slow Flowers Podcast with Deborah Prinzing, and I'm in San Jose, California. We've just completed the Association of Specialty Cut Flower Growers, Growers Intensive, and two of the people involved and attending, and including one speaker, are here with me, Bethany Coughlin. And Bethany is a floral designer and owner of Clarice, which is based in Petaluma, right?
That's right. Hi, Deborah.
Hi. Great to meet you again. And Lenny Larkin. Hi, Lenny.
Hi, Deborah.
And Lenny is a farmer with B-Side Farm.
Yep.
Is that also in Petaluma?
It is.
Okay, great. So we're going to talk about this interdependency that we were sort of witnessing in our current slow flowers world, where it some people do it all, but some people have a kind of a lean more toward design with a little bit of growing, and some people lean more toward growing with a little bit of design. And you two have seemed to come up with a good partnership. So I want to share that with people. So Bethany, why don't you talk about your path and how you've got a unique path.
Sure.
You're very unique. I want people to know about that. Can you sing your interview here?
Yeah. La, 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 la. Yeah, it's 8 o'clock in
That's
the morning.
That's pretty good.
Just a little warm-up. Yeah, exactly. Well, for the last 20, 25 years, I've really put most of my focus on opera singing. I'm a graduate of the New England Conservatory of Music and the Juilliard School in New York City, where I got my master's in vocal performance. And
kind of well-known schools, right?
Yeah, some people know it, you know. And that's really been my driven path for a long time. And that's actually what brought me to California, is I was a resident artist with Opera San Jose for 4 years, a wonderful organization that is the only resident artist company in the United States, which is a really special program.
So you really could put your roots down in this community.
Yeah, exactly. And you found a lovely fan base that got to know you, got to know your face and support you. So that's something that's really special about Opera San Jose residency. So after that residency was over, my husband and I bought a house up in Petaluma. And
Petaluma is north of San Francisco.
It's right in Sonoma County.
Okay.
It's right in the beginning of Sonoma. So we're in wine country, perfect growing world.
Oh,
It's so idyllic up there. It's wonderful. And I read a book, actually, on one of my auditions. I was auditioning down in Miami for an opera company, and one of my friends had laying on her table a book called The Dirty Life.
Hmm.
And it's about this woman who, her first year of organic farming.
Yeah.
And how
I might have that book. Feel like I've seen it. It's
if
like
you
a memoir,
read it,
right?
Yeah, it is, and it's well written, and it talks about how difficult the trials and how wonderful organic farming is. And I thought, wow, that sounds like something I'd be interested in looking into. So I actually started volunteering on a flower farm. That's how I came to it. And I wasn't even looking for flowers. I actually had...
You just wanted that organic experience.
Yeah, I just wanted to have a farming organic experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I reached out to some of my farmer friends, and my friend, Jesse Pizzitola, of First Light Farm, said, I know some flower farmers named Chickabloom Farm who's looking for some help. And he connected me with them. So 2 months later, I became a co-owner. I was obviously very into it.
Yeah.
I loved it right away.
What year was that?
That would have been 2013.
Okay, so just a couple years
ago. Just a couple years ago.
You jumped right in.
I did. Yeah, that's how I pretty much do everything. Full force. And I loved it. I was in the ground. I was outside every day. I was, you know, humming and singing in the fields while harvesting. I mean, it was truly ridiculous how much I loved it.
Oh.
But what I found myself being gravitated to more was the design aspect.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was still singing at this time, still singing professionally, but I wasn't traveling as much. I'd chosen to be at home more.
Because the life of an opera singer is really a vagabond life, right?
It's really, you live out of a hotel
Wow.
most of the time.
Wow.
So, and I really like my husband.
Yeah.
And I want to be around him as much as possible. So.
We've got a lot of ambient noise here from the hotel. We'll just apologize in advance.
So from there, I loved being with Chicka Bloom. I was with two other ladies, Ariana and Danielle, who are still with the company. And I learned so much from them. And I also became friends and connected to many other local flower farmers, such as Lenny. That's how I ended up meeting Lenny.
And at Chicka Bloom, it was growing, and you handled design as well.
That's right.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
And
but you guys met just how? In the community, or?
We did, actually. We met, we were just trying to figure out this morning, like, when was the first moment?
Yeah.
I knew that I just adored this girl.
I better introduce Lenny. Why don't you jump in and tell how you and Bethany met?
Sure. Hi. I think we met one day out at Chicka Bloom Farm. I'm old friends with Ariana, and I came out to the farm, and we started walking around the fields, truly geeking out over what was popping out at the time, and Bethany and I met, and we all kind of walked around the fields together, and we got to know each other.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's very cool. And that experience, then, it sounds like you became surprised that design was as important to you as growing, and in fact, kind of pulled your attention more to design.
Absolutely. Well, because I was still singing and in the professional singing world, I was trying to figure out how to link these two careers together, you know. And I was starting to realize that there was some movement in my designs. You know, we're all trying to find our own voice and our own design aesthetic and being influenced by Instagram and what everybody's doing and all of the wildflowery things that are happening, which, of course, I love. And I began to see these movements that reflected in my music as well. And I began to think, well, why don't I start doing designs based on musical pieces that influence me as well.
That are already, like, playing in your head, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I love it.
And so, and with the design, I found a huge creative outlet. Like, of course, the music is hugely creative, but that's because I'm a very creative individual. Mm. Like, I'm just obviously an artist, so
yeah,
that's
love
what
that
I've
work.
Gravitated yeah. towards. And so that's where Chloe's Floral was born. And it took, of course, like, coming up with a name is really difficult. You know, it means so much and it's so personal.
So tell us the story of Clarisse and how do you spell it so people know?
Yes, it's French. I always say it's Franche, you know. So it's Chloris.
Okay, but pronounce Clarisse.
Clarisse, yes.
Uh-huh. And what is the origin of that?
Well, there is an art song by Rinaldo Ahn. He was during the Belle Époque period in French. And he wrote an art song called A Clarisse, which talks about this heroine. It's a romantic love song. And that was sung at my wedding. It's one of my favorite art songs. In fact, I just did a recital tour in Boston last year, about 10 recitals, where I got to sing it on every recital. So it's become
very meaningful to you.
Really meaningful. Mm-hmm. But aside from that, then I discovered that Clarisse is the Greek goddess of flowers.
Oh, perfect.
So when
I don't think anyone has figured this out. You're the first one. I love it.
Well, everybody knows Flora.
Right.
But Clarisse is another name for her.
Oh, wow.
So when I discovered I, of course, I knew that was the name that I had to go with.
Mm-hmm. When did you actually put print the business cards and start the website? It was within the last year, right?
It's been very recent.
Okay.
I left Chicka Bloom this past fall in November, and then right away, December is when
I
began. Yes. So just really, I think the website was done in January.
So you have these roots in growing, but you obviously value locally grown flowers.
Absolutely.
But describe how you're going to set up Clarisse in terms of the business you're going after for 2015 and
sure.
beyond.
Sure. Well, beyond, I would love to have a flower farm specifically connected to Clarisse. I think that's, I would think, why isn't that every florist dream?
Right,
you know, you're
right.
crazy not
right.
to
right.
to have that dream. But having been a grower myself the last year and a half, I'm obviously very passionate about it. But to do all three, continue the opera career, continue the floral design, and do the flower farming, I can't do it all.
Yeah.
So right now, currently, I'm choosing two of the three.
Mm-hmm.
And I also don't have any land currently. As we all know, in Sonoma County, it's really expensive to
premium,
have land.
Yeah.
But one thing that I'm also finding that I'm really passionate about is that, just like you, I want to be a huge advocate for locally grown flowers.
Mm-hmm.
It's having been in the dirt myself,
yeah,
and seeing how much hard work goes into it, I want to really truly only support locally grown, and for me also grown with organic practices. That's important to my business.
I think that's wonderful, and I think that this just this mindfulness of and intentionality is it makes sense to us, but it's not for and not everyone's coming at their floral business that way. So you guys are the kind of the pioneers pushing the industry in that direction, because there's probably a lot of establishment flower businesses in the wine country that haven't for years thought about this, and now maybe they're going to have to.
Yeah, I think the competition is going to begin to happen, and I think farmers like Lenny, the florists, are going to be knocking down our door.
Yeah,
because it's the product is just first rate. You can't get a better product of something that's just been harvested that morning.
I know, it's so cool.
As opposed to done a 3-hour or 3-week trip from Ecuador.
Or even been in the car from San Francisco, who knows where it was harvested, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
The business that you envision, is it mainly weddings then? Will you be booking these larger
events? I will be booking weddings, okay. Yes. Right now, my business plan for this year is mostly CSA subscriptions.
Oh, right. We talked about that. Yeah.
Because not a lot of people know who... I just started the business.
That's your calling card.
Not a lot of people know who Chloris Floral is yet. Mm-hmm. And I love the CSA subscriptions. I have found that I just enjoy going in every week and seeing the restaurant owner that I provide bulk flowers to and get to talk to her for 5 minutes. Just that 5-minute interaction keeps you in somebody's life just a little bit, and she's beyond excited she can't wait till Friday mornings until I show up with those flowers.
Cool.
And I'm so excited to see what you get. Yeah. And that's also part of the fun is she also doesn't know. So it's always a surprise for her. It's what is the most beautiful that week, what's growing, it's seasonal. She doesn't get a choice and she just loves it.
Mm-hmm. And so that, when you said CSA, I initially thought of the individual, homeowner who wants a bouquet on their dining table.
And I do that too.
Okay. But that you're kind of blending it over into restaurants as well.
Restaurants, businesses, individuals.
Yeah. Wow. That's really great. So you have convinced Lenny to supply your flowers, it sounds like.
That's right.
All right. Yes. Let's get Lenny in here. And then I have got lots more questions for you too, Bethany, but we'll bounce around. Lenny, you spoke here at the ASCFG. I did record the whole thing, and I would like to share it as a podcast. And so I don't know if I'll run it on its own or I'll combine it with this, but people will figure it out. But what was the title of your talk?
Well, Judy, who runs the organization, Judy and I were trying to think of a great name for a talk. We had two presentations during the conference that were supposed to be kind of bookends, and I was representing the younger, newer grower, talking about my business plan, how I was launching my business, kind of evaluating my business, and then we had someone on the more experienced end talking about his farm. So we were trying to think of names that fit together, so I suggested Going Crazy for Flowers, because she had suggested Still Crazy After All These Years for his stock.
Right.
So
perfect.
That was maybe our little inside joke, but so we called it Going Crazy for Flowers.
And you really bared your soul. You kind of revealed your whole thought process for going out on your own, because you've been associated with another farm, right?
Right, yeah. I decided that I was a little bit nervous to speak in front of a room of such experienced growers and a lot of people who, I've been following their journey and their farms for years now. And I said, what can I bring to the table? Obviously my enthusiasm, but I wanted to, bring some other elements into the talks too. So I decided just transparency, 100% transparency was my way to go. And I wanted to talk about my excitement and my enthusiasm at this point, but also how I'm have learned from all these other growers and really created a smart business model. And I've really created strong connections with my outlets, with the florists and designers and supermarkets that I'm selling to. And I wanted to emphasize that and just talk about my decision-making process that has come out of my circumstances in a really specific kind of way so that other people could evaluate their own plans and their circumstances.
Well, in similar ways, I think, to what Bethany just said, that you thought you were going to be a farmer, but you didn't necessarily know what the flowers were going to command your attention right. when you got started. So talk a little bit about
Definitely.
That.
Definitely, yeah. Bethany and I have very different life stories so far, which is really interesting because we're great friends. You know, I play country music, so we could do some sort of a country opera mashup at some point.
Well, having been born in Kansas, I can do country.
All right, you heard it here first, folks. But yeah, I'm from Boston, and I, you know, worked on some farms when I was younger in high school. I was always kind of a hippie as a kid, and then decided to kind of go the social services route. Mm-hmm. And I, after college, you know, I worked in adult education and social work and refugee resettlement for a few years, and that's wow. where I thought my career was headed. And I worked in Brazil for a year for a translation company, editing and writing. So I kind of had this, you know, a very different path.
Eclectic path.
And was a bit of a vagabond myself, so I guess we have that in common. And I started, you know, I was still pretty young in my career, but was definitely on a track. And I started realizing the ways that I was not kind of personally fulfilled. I found my work to be really important, but there was something missing for me, and I think a lot of it was just about being outside. And so I actually quit my career in Boston and went and hiked the Appalachian Trail for 6 months, and then came out and did the Farm and Garden program in UC Santa Cruz.
Oh my God. I didn't know about the hiking the Appalachian Trail. You really were on the trail.
I was on the trail, yeah. It's been interesting to think about how farming and now flower farming is really giving me a sense of permanence, and I'm really trying to avoid saying anything like putting down roots, but I am settling in the farming life in a way that I haven't before in my life. So
because you do have this responsibility to the crops you're growing, you can't
definitely.
Just go off for 2 weeks.
Right. Exactly. And it feels great. I thought I would be scared, you know, perhaps I've had commitment issues to this type of thing in the past, but I absolutely am just so 100% committed to my business and my flowers.
That's great.
There's nothing else I'd rather be doing. Yeah, so I came out and did the Santa Cruz program.
Mm-hmm. And that's, how long is that?
It's 6 months.
Okay.
And then I got hired on for an additional year to be a teaching assistant, essentially, and learned so much. It was basically a whirlwind course on how to be a farmer. Most people who come into the program had more experience farming than I did, but I came to it with an education background where I really wanted to take what I learned and teach. And so I think that's how I kind of got into the program.
Right.
I got hired to stay.
You had value added.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you. And had a great experience, was really focused on vegetables and, like I said, teaching and kind of was trying to take the social work, social justice lens.
Food justice, yeah.
Exactly.
Wow.
And this job became available up in Petaluma, at Petaluma Bounty, which is a small nonprofit educational urban farm. And I'm now going into my third season being the manager up there. And it is a great job and a great organization, and I'm so proud of it. And I get to wear a million hats. You know, I'm the production manager, I'm the volunteer recruiter, I am the teacher.
The social media maven.
And I, you know, have an amazing team, and my boss, who is the program director, does all the grants and the administration and a lot of the outreach. So I'm really based on the farm, farming and teaching. And it's chaotic and a bit crazy. I mean, Bethany comes to visit me in the middle of August, and I, you know, I'm running around like a crazy person.
It's true.
So I'm trying. You know, but it's been really.
Well, you have to when
she's
harvest
amazing
time.
At it. She definitely is. But it's you're right. It's a lot of hats. It's a lot of work.
It's a funny and great farm. There's just lots of people coming and going all the time. So our main goals. I'll just briefly tell you about the bounty. It's, you know, to grow and distribute fresh, amazing, sustainably grown produce to low-income families who might not otherwise have an opportunity to afford such food, and to create volunteer opportunities for everyone in the community to come out, learn how to garden, get active, teach their kids where food comes from. You know, it's just,
right.
It's kind of a thriving place. So there I was at the Bounty, growing some flowers, but mostly vegetables and fruit. And I started, I think, finding some sort of comfort in the flowers, and that became kind of my pet project. And I also didn't really have any kind of a background in doing anything very creative, so I think this is where I started to find my creative outlet. And I started refining our flower plan and growing nicer flowers and more flowers. And last year, in my second season there, I reached out to local florists and started selling to florists. And it, you know, brought in a little extra income for the farm. It wasn't our primary focus, but it was able to kind of supplement some of our other programs. I also started coming to the ASCFG conferences, and I think that is the first time I've been able to say those letters without mixing up the order.
I am so proud of you.
Thank you.
I figured it out too, but it takes a while.
Yeah, of course, I couldn't just let it slide. I had to work it in there.
Yeah. It was, you went to the Texas meeting, right?
I went to the Texas meeting, and then I went to the Maryland meeting, and I became a huge groupie. We met there.
Yeah, that's great.
Stephanie Minnis now, and I started kind of doing the circuit and traveling to all these conferences together. So I just was so excited to be learning from these growers from all over the country who are presenting these conferences. And so I, you know, scribbled notes, quickly went home and ordered some new seeds and really was able to refine my flower plan last year.
Right, because
those conferences.
That was like March, and then you came home and you were still able to plant.
Totally. Okay. Yeah. So I, you know, snuck a few more seeds into trays and, got some really specific tips on what I could do for my business that season, and also started thinking about the future. I heard a really inspiring talk about managing farm crews, and I think a lot about how to be a good teacher and a good manager. And it started getting me in the mode of thinking of myself as a small business owner. And it also started kind of, it planted the seed for, there I go again, those puns. It got me to think about the fact that I really needed to jump into flowers more.
Yeah. It's hard to explain because it's like, of course we need food and food feeds us and feeds our bodies, but there's something more of that soulfulness and, you know, I don't know, passion that you get when you're doing, having a floral business.
It's true.
Especially if you are holistic about it, which I think you guys are.
Right, it's true. And the vegetables and the flowers can really complement one another.
Yeah.
And I think that'll continue to be a tension for me because I feel pretty deeply committed to both at this point. But I started thinking about growing my own business, and I came upon some land. It's not even an acre, on a great couple's property about 10 minutes from Petaluma Bounty, and I'm moving onto the property, and I decided to start my own micro flower farm and business. So I'll be doing that this summer as well as running Petaluma Bounty.
And that business is B-Side.
It's B-Side Farm, like the record, yes.
I love it. You're a little too young to know about the B-Side, but I guess that country music thing.
I think it's the country music thing, yep. Yeah.
I forgot it. I mean, that's cool now. It just dawned on me. You're both got
the
this musical component.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, how are you two going to collaborate? Bethany, why don't we bounce back to you and hear a little bit about this unique sort of friendship business partnership?
Sure. Well, I got the idea when I knew that I was going to no longer have a flower farm. Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, well, I want to keep singing and I can't do all three. What's my plan? Where am I going to get my flowers?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I'm going to get my flowers from the contacts I'd already made. And Lenny and I had done a lot of the flower adventures together already. When I was selling flowers for Chickabloom, we had collaborated in working out how to sell at Buyrite, a grocery chain down in San Francisco. And that was just a huge, they're wonderfully supportive of local growers down there. And so I thought, okay, well, I obviously know a lot of flower farmers, but I want to try something a little bit different. Mm-hmm. I obviously want to keep around flowers a lot and being out on the land until I get land of my own.
Right.
And how can I do that? So I looked around at my flower farmer friends, and obviously Lenny and I are good friends, but Lenny is also an amazing flower grower.
Mm-hmm.
She's obviously an amazing businesswoman and all of those things, but she also just like, she produces an amazing flower and somebody that I can count on. And the other, so what I decided is to choose two farmers in my area that I felt like I could trust and who would be open to this idea. The other farmer is Jordan Thompson at Hydrin Meadery. I know that you had a chance to talk to her.
Yes, but I didn't know that you were doing this with her.
She's my other farmer
this year. Oh, it was nice to meet her at lunch the other day.
She's just lovely. And so basically my business plan involves really sourcing about 80% of my flowers from these two farmers.
Okay.
And I remember, I also went to the ASCFG conference in Delaware.
She did the letters, too. She gave herself a little fist bump.
I got it. Because I've also been practicing it.
And
I want to rename it like greatflowers.com or something. Yeah. Let's simplify.
I know.
So you got connected. I cut you off. I'm sorry.
Well, actually, Lenny was the one who really, when she came back from the conference, she said, "Oh, Bethany, just this game changer. You need to go to this conference if mm-hmm. you're going to have anything to do with flowers." And
I basically started threatening all my friends that if they didn't come to this conference,
can't be friends anymore.
Yeah, and it worked. I think I was surrounded by friends all weekend in San Jose.
It was true, you were. The conference in Delaware, the national conference, I attended and was just blown away by the camaraderie, the amount of sharing information. Mm-hmm. I was really, the two people that I was really pulled to, Paula Rice mm-hmm. up at Bee Haven mm-hmm. Farm and Ellen Frost mm-hmm. with Local Color Flowers mm-hmm. as well. And I loved their model. I loved their energy, their organization. And I said to Ellen, and I've since talked to her as well. I said, you know, you live in Maryland, where you're able to source 100 miles for 85 weddings a year that you're doing, and you've been doing this for 6-7 years. I currently live in California, where I don't think I can get year-round local flowers. Tell me how to do that, because I want to support these local flower farmers right. like you. I see how important that is, and that's also a passion of mine. But I also started to say, have you ever heard of this model or the possibility that as a farmer florist myself, as I've been growing, that do you go out and harvest the flowers sometimes? Do farmers allow you to do this? And talking this with Paula, who's so wonderfully energetic, she said, oh my gosh, oh, that's such a great idea. No, I've never thought of this model. Let me know how it goes. You know, she's so excited about it too.
She's Wonder Woman.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Well, she kind of chaired this conference this past week.
She did. Yeah. That's right.
That's why she was just touching every component of it.
Yeah. And she's so inspiring with the work that she's doing out in Idaho. And I bounced this idea off the professionals mm-hmm. first and mm-hmm. said, am I crazy? Is this seem like a business model that might work? And really the responses were, yeah, give it a try. So that's when I approached Lenny and Jordan as well. And I said, okay, so I'm going to need some flowers this year. I love your flowers. Obviously I can buy the flowers from you like just any normal florist.
Place an order kind of thing.
You know, right. Availability lists and emails back and forth and all that.
It sounds like a lot of work.
It does sound like a lot of work.
And I feel like I'm in this relationship with Lenny where obviously we're friends, but we've also done some business like-minded collaborations to where I knew that she would also trust me. Mm-hmm. And she's as a farmer, she's not going to just let anybody go out in her field and harvest flowers. I mean, having been a flower farmer myself, I just like get anxiety over allowing people.
I mean, there's sometimes two farmers on the same farm have disagreements about right. their harvest practices. You know,
absolutely.
People
definitely.
Are very particular.
They're right. they're particular.
Stem length or right. when the bud is open and all that.
Right.
And it's funny because from the farmer angle, I put out a call, you know, to people in my network and also once on the Facebook flower farmers mm-hmm. group, which has been hugely helpful. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like the ASCFG message boards where mm-hmm. you can kind of pose any question and you get great answers from all across the country. But I put out a call saying, has anyone done any kind of model like this? I want to work with a great friend who's a florist and who has grown flowers herself, and she's going to come out and harvest the flowers, and we're going to work out the price structure. And mm-hmm. if that means I am you know, what the prices are going to look like because mm-hmm. she'll be doing this portion of the labor. But it was funny. I got so much pushback. And mm-hmm. I think people were feeling really protective of me. And these are mostly straight up farmers, not necessarily florists or even farmer florists. But people were just, expressing that they would be really protective over their flowers.
Yeah.
Be careful. You don't get burned. Be careful about the harvesting practices, all that. And so I kind of took that with a grain of salt. But
important questions that we've had to think about.
Definitely. And we are drafting a really clear-cut contract because we've also, we know it's tricky to work with mm-hmm. friends, you mm-hmm. know? So Bethany and I are kind of doing, crossing all our T's, all that, you know, making sure that...
It's the prenup.
Totally.
But it sounds like you both are coming, you're not coming at this because you're distrustful. It's more like we want to be successful and we want to stay friends.
Yeah. And we want to really support each other's mm-hmm. business. I mean, mm-hmm. we're both at a time where we're little babies.
the potential is huge right. for both of us, and I want her to succeed. You know, yeah. I crazy want to like, yeah. help her succeed and like get the word out. I'm big on Instagram and Facebook. I love doing social media. I do it like every day.
Yeah.
And
she's always coaching me on how I could be promoting myself better.
Well, it sounds like what you're doing is by promoting Clarice, you're also promoting B-Side.
Absolutely.
And also what Jordan is growing. Right. So you're... That's what I've always yearned to see right. is this transparency of tell your customer the origins of your flowers.
Absolutely. It's really
and
important.
That's what you were trying to seek out when you said you don't know if it's possible to get year-round flowers yeah. close to you.
Yeah.
It is possible, but you're going to have to, change the model. And one of you, two of you made a really profound comment the other day that blew my mind. I think it... I don't know who to attribute it to. Maybe you both said it at the same time. But one of you said, here we are in this agriculture-rich Petaluma, is it a valley? Petaluma area. And there's this big wedding business and all these wineries. And then, did you say this, Bethany, where people are, like, florists are driving past all these farms to San Francisco?
I think Lenny said
okay,
it.
Yeah. I think love
I'm
it. All right,
it
Lenny.
Her. Did
just
you?
Say it again, Lenny. Say it better because it was like, oh my God, so
yeah, it was
crazy.
Just so we're in this huge area, this wedding industry, mm-hmm. right? Sonoma County, Napa County,
these
even
destination
County.
Weddings.
Destination
yeah.
weddings, yeah. for sure. There are wineries around us that are hosting 5 weddings a day. And I have worked for some mm-hmm. florists in the area who service a lot of those weddings. You know, I do some wedding and design work myself. We've all kind of worked in the industry from different angles. Mm-hmm. And these designers are kind of driving past our farms to go down to the San Francisco flower market
to
get non-local flowers, sometimes to get flowers that farmers like us are also driving down to the
right.
market.
Right.
So basically
right.
everyone's hopping on the 101 to go get flowers when really we're growing them
right.
you know, 5 miles from the
right.
design studio.
Right. And not to take away from the San Francisco flower market.
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah, what a great resource.
And they do have a lot of, I mean, a huge percentage, especially, you know, in the non-winter months, great local product.
Definitely.
But if you're conscious about, you know, your transportation footprint and you also have flowers locally,
right.
It doesn't make sense.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And yeah, my model now is I've started to get to know some of the designers and the florists in the area. You know, I'm now selling to Bethany with Clarice, and you know, that's going to be an amazing kind of singular unique model. Mm-hmm. I'm selling to Vanda Floral Designs, which is across the street from Petaluma Bounty. And they do a lot of weddings. They're great and a big florist. And so I can hop in the car. I could practically walk my flowers across the street
yeah.
to them. And I'm selling to them a lot, you know,
the
lots of flowers
the
every week.
The five-step bouquet.
Definitely,
yeah.
yeah. And I'm doing a little flower CSA that's going to be picked up from my friend's mechanic shop in town, which is just down the street. And then I'm selling to a few other local designers. And then we also, you know, are all collaborating with how to get our flowers down to some markets in San Francisco
mm-hmm.
and the Floricultural Society
mm-hmm.
and Byright again, mm-hmm. and then Terra Firma Farm, which is another great local farm that has a farm stand that doesn't yet have flowers, so I'm
mm-hmm.
going to provide flower mixed bouquets there. So it's been really cool to reach out to different people and see who can start to
it's
sell my
flowers.
It's
infiltrating, though.
Yeah.
Like especially the local florist, like Vanda, Bryce at Local. Bryce, who is Vanda Floral Design, and the fact that Lenny can bring in a bucket of flowers and that he's supporting local, that's just a little bit to show you what the possibility
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
And it sounds like to me like there's enough business for everyone.
Absolutely.
And your aesthetic is unique, different than that florist aesthetic. So you're not, yes, you could be perceived as competitors, but deep down, you know, the bride is going to choose the right florist
right.
who reflects
oh, absolutely.
Her
yeah.
aesthetic. And more flowers means more business for everyone, right? Is that the plan?
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, Frank Arnosky just walked in.
No, we can...
Past podcast guest.
Have a good trip, Frank.
Okay, you're welcome to Texas anytime you make
Frank, I'm coming to Texas. Thank you.
Bye.
So nice to see you.
I mean, all kinds of interesting people here in the lobby, right?
Yeah, that was perfect.
I love it. I guess I got you. You got yourself an invitation, right?
I know. Well, I think I
I sauntered up to him yesterday. You're doing a tour, and kind of said, "Frank, I'm coming to Texas.
No, I'm coming."
Yeah. Yeah, but you know you're going to work when you're down there, right?
Oh, sure. I will love to kind of follow them around and see all the magic that's happening down at their farm in Texas. They're workhorses. I can't even.
Lenny, how many varieties are you do you think you'll be growing at B-Side?
Well, on my current sewing schedule, there's 75 different flowers, and then different colors and varieties within that. So it's a lot to pack into 3/4 of an acre.
Is it mainly annuals?
Funny you should ask, Deborah. It's mainly annuals, and I just ordered peonies the first time. So yes. I'm very excited about that. It's tricky. I don't own my land. I have a great relationship with my landlord, and I've started to see how I'm already probably going to outgrow this land in a year or two. Mm-hmm. I'm feeling really ambitious about this business, and I have a design end. You know, I'm doing a couple weddings this year. I'm doing lots and lots of kind of farmers market style bouquets and some more informal CSA type arrangements. But I'm basically focused on a wholesale or a florist model. I love producing bulk. I feel like a really efficient and fast farmer, and that's where my strengths really lie, so I'm trying to focus on that.
Take advantage of it. Right.
Definitely, yeah, and so I can see in a year or two I'm really going to need a couple of acres, and I want to grow my business, and I want to work alongside people that I can train, and right now it's just me out there in the field with maybe one helper, but yeah, so I just ordered about 125 peonies. I'm really excited to get them in the ground, and for me it feels like they're like big kid flowers.
Yeah,
you know?
I love it. I love that term.
Totally.
Forget
the zinnias and, you know. But, yes, I'm growing tons of variety, and it's going to be a busy year. But the demand is there, and I'm so close with all the people that I'm selling to, and they're just so supportive. And I feel it's a bit of luck, and it's a bit of perseverance on my part to keep the connections active, you know. But it's a great market.
And the reason I ask you about that is I'm wondering, Bethany, did you have influence and did you give a wish list to Lenny and say, I know I can use XYZ?
Absolutely. That was definitely part of our deal for sure. And I already knew so many of the flowers that Lenny loved, and we happen to have a lot of the same taste, which is also why I want her to be a grower for Chloris. But I did. There were a couple things, and there were a couple things where she said, I need you to ask Jordan to grow those for you because
know yourself. Right?
I'm not crazy, and I've tried those before, and you know, so of which I've done.
Or that's not the flower for me. Can you source it elsewhere? If it's a deal breaker, I'll grow it. But
And we haven't had any deal breakers yet.
So how do you envision your week going? Like, when will you go harvest and design and deliver? And
well, my model is based on the fact that we have very few flowers right now, and that by July we're going to be swimming in them.
Right.
So I have been already going back and starting a CSA again, and currently these last couple months I've been sourcing from a Front Porch Farm up in Healdsburg, which is a wonderful operation that has Farmer Zoe there. And there's also a grower out in Occidental that I've been going to. So I'm starting small. And then gradually every month building more and more CSAs as the flowers continue to go crazy.
Your potential of crops or your inventory available to you is larger, yeah.
So how I envision my week going basically is harvesting twice a week, once going out to Lenny's property, and this is the height of the season, going out to Lenny's, and then once a week going out to the meadery where Jordan is, harvesting from her, and then delivering twice a day or twice a week. Mm-hmm. So harvesting Monday, for example, delivering on Tuesday, Wednesday, office work, Thursday, harvesting, delivery on Friday.
Yeah.
And then in the mix of that, I'm going to be having events and weddings. I have already had wedding inquiries, which is really exciting. I wasn't sure whether or not that was going to happen. But
no one's ever going to ask you to both make the arrangements and design the floral and then also perform, right?
I mean, would that well, be they did yesterday on the bus.
Did you sing on the bus?
On the way back from the farm tours, it was Tom's
from Happy
birthday.
Trowels.
Yeah, Happy Trowels Farm out in Utah, and it was really fun. So I've actually had that thought, you know, wondering, because a lot of my opera friends are realizing that I'm now doing flowers as well. And I've wondered, I was like, oh, I wonder, because I get asked to sing at weddings all the time.
I'm sure you do.
And I'm actually singing at Jordan's wedding. Jordan is going to get married, you know, from Hydrin this
October. And I'm helping with the flowers. It's a community effort.
It takes a village.
Totally.
Well, you are doing something really special. And on my show notes for this podcast, I'll list both of your all your social places so people can find you, and links to your websites. And hopefully we'll get photos. But
all our social places, like the bars where we hang out.
Well, I don't know what else. I hate the word platform.
Totally.
So I've decided to call them social places.
I like that. Yeah. I'm going to use that. If you don't mind.
You know, like you used to call your tavern the local. Yeah. So yeah, the local social.
Where everyone knows your name.
Did you just give a 90210 reference?
I did. What did you say? I quoted Beverly Hills 90210. Let's move on.
That is so cute. Yes, I have a child who every reference is through Mean Girls, but I am so clueless. I don't know what he's talking about. But I guess what I wanted to touch on, mm-hmm. and maybe we can end with this, unless there's something else you guys want to talk about. But you've been sharing with me, Bethany, some of these arrangements that you are designing, kind of just for your own blog, mm-hmm. that are inspired by compositions and operas. So tell me how that played out, and I mean, it makes so much sense, but yeah, I thought of it.
Well, for the longest time, honestly, I was struggling with keeping, because on Facebook, I have a personal account, mm-hmm. and it's been mostly opera related. And as I was doing the flower farming, I was kind of not announcing to the opera world that I was doing that, and it was really hard for me to be like, oh, I feel like I'm lying to myself or not really, you know, coming together with my identity of this, because I still get offers for singing on Facebook, you know, mm-hmm. they see that I'm still performing, and it's just another business platform,
right,
and so I'm trying to figure out how to continue to meld these two passions and becoming more and more passionate about the floral design and obviously starting Chloris Floral. I was really influenced by both you and Ellen to say, you need to tell your story. Mm. That really is what makes mm-hmm. you special. And mm-hmm. and you're right. It's what, you know, if I could give any advice to anybody in terms of starting their own social media and Instagram, is you need to tell your story. You need to show your face because people want to see who you are and connect with you on that level.
Right. It differentiates you then.
Yeah. Yeah. And it really, I was like, yeah, I am still a professional opera singer and I still do perform. And that's kind of unusual. You know,
I think it might be only you who's doing this.
But also at the conference at the ASF. Oh, I didn't get it. ASCFG. Edit that out. No. At the ASCFG in Delaware, you know, the light that I would see on people's faces, oh, you're an opera singer? Like, that's when they would begin to remember me.
Uh-huh.
You know? So I thought, okay, I need to start telling my story. And I reached out to an amazing photographer in my community, Paige Green, who shot the Studio Chew books.
Yeah, and Baylor Chapman's book. Yeah,
exactly. Mm-hmm. And Paige happens to be in my book club. Mm. And you know, is becoming a friend and in my community. Mm. So I reached out to her and I said, okay, I want to bring these two worlds together. I want to figure out, because of course I'm extremely artistic and dramatic, and yes. I need these pictures to help depict that. And
because that's the thing, opera is a performance art, right?
Absolutely.
It's acting as much as singing, and people don't think about that.
And acting, as much as I love singing and have been trained in that, I'm actually, the acting aspect is what I'm really attracted to with it.
Yeah.
And so we did these wonderful, we went out to First Light Farm, and I was in these gowns and carrying a hula ho, you know, and these crazy, you know, of course, just fantastical pictures. And Paige just captured it so beautifully.
She did a great job.
It was so beautiful. And I have to tell you, that was worth a $10,000 worth of therapy for me.
Yeah.
Because it really helped me embody, like this, no, this is who I am.
It's my path. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was, so now that I'm beginning to embrace that more and know that, yes, I'm still singing, I'm doing the gigs, I'm turning down gigs that I just don't want to do. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't want to travel there. And
yeah.
No, I just, you know, I...
That's a two-week commitment and takes me away from my husband or whatever.
Or artistically, that doesn't excite me anymore. Mm-hmm. Because before, I was so hungry to be singing all the time and to be busy and have my schedule constantly busy. Mm-hmm. And now I'm able just to take the projects that really artistically mm-hmm. fulfill me, mm-hmm. because now I'm also getting artistically fulfilled with the creative bouquet design.
That's
as well.
Cool.
So
it's just it's a different expression of your creativity.
It is. And now that I've been able to, I'm not sure how I think the first bouquet that I ended up doing was the ocean inspired, the Debussy La Mer. which means, you know, the sea, the ocean. And I was listening to that piece and I thought, oh, wow, I know Jordan at Hydrant Meadery has this great Dusty Miller that kind of looks very sea-like. Wow, wouldn't that be cool if I did this bouquet inspired by this piece? Oh, I could do Carmen, too. I've actually done a photo shoot. Like, I've sung the role of Carmen 3 times, and I know that role very well. And how fantastic would it be to try and get her flamenco dancing movement
in a gestures, bouquet? Yeah,
the gesture. So that'll be coming out soon, too, as well.
Good. So you're posting most of these on your website and then also sharing them on
Facebook and Instagram and website.
I love it.
And, yeah, that's
I love it. That's so cool. I love also, Lenny, that you, when you talked about pushing yourself to be a designer, you gave some great advice in your talk because you just sort of sign yourself up to work with people who are clients, right?
Definitely, yeah. I started working for some local florists, and I took a floristry class, and following Stephanie around as she, because she has this amazing kind of eye that really lends itself to flower design, so just, she just quickly became a genius in that regard. And yeah, you know I'm a good farmer, but I really needed to work on my design skills, and they're getting there, which feels amazing, and I can confidently do weddings now, and yeah, it's been a great journey.
It's neat because you do have more intimate knowledge of the product than any other designer would because you grew it.
Definitely.
So that is your distinctive.
It's funny. I go into work at a florist shop and I feel a little bit awkward working with flowers that I haven't grown, you know? I can do great things with the flowers that I've watched come up in my fields, but other flowers.
How does this work?
What is this rose? What do I do with this? Yeah, and it's been, so that was kind of the focus of my talk was speaking about my strengths and weaknesses and where my business is going. And I realized through that process that I've always known that I love teaching and I love writing. And so I'm trying to bring that into my flower farming world a little bit. And I taught a workshop with Stephanie at the Floriculture Society, and I'm scheduling some workshops up at Beeside Farm for flower arranging and growing, mostly growing and arranging with what you grow.
Right, exactly. What to do with what you grow.
Exactly. Yeah. And I've been writing some how-to gardening blogs, and I'm trying to move those more towards the flower world more and more, and I hope to kind of find better ways to do that in the future, because I love teaching. I love finding the information gaps and trying to fill them in for myself and then sharing that knowledge with other people who might be just a little bit more inexperienced than me, or maybe, you know, haven't tried taking dahlia cuttings yet, or haven't built a little greenhouse before, or don't know much about, you know, nutrient cycling in soil. It's just really interesting for me to learn these things and then to share them with people.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Okay, before we close, is there anything else you guys want to make sure everybody hears? Because I obviously couldn't think of all the questions, but we could talk all morning. I'm really, you're both so generous with telling your stories, and I know it's going to inspire a lot of people.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you for asking. It's been such a whirlwind of a weekend, and I could do it all over. I might need a 2-day hiatus, you know, but it's been
a big nap.
I might need a big nap, 3-day nap. Yeah.
Well, I think what is really special, too, is the fact that we're saying, oh, we're so tired of talking about flowers, and then, you know, you also come, and you're so inspiring with the work that you've been doing, too. Like,
thanks.
In a second, obviously, like, we're not done talking about flowers.
No.
Right. Yeah. And we're about to drive home to Sonoma County together, and we're going to be talking.
Oh, we should just keep the recorder going.
I know, definitely. Oh, yeah, I wanted to tell you that the white bachelor buttons you requested are just popping up in the greenhouse,
awesome.
They'll be going into the ground tomorrow. True story.
It's true. I did request the white bachelor buttons. They're so cute.
Oh, fun. Oh, great. Well, you guys are both going to share photos that I can put on my blog.
Absolutely.
And, all the links. So this will run in a few weeks, and I just thank you both so much.
Thank you.
We've been planning this for a while.
Yes.
Yeah.
Great. Hey, it's Deborah Prinzing again with Bethany Coughlin and Lenny Larkin, and we turned the recorder off and kept talking, and then Lenny remembered that she had a bonus bit to tell everybody, so I'm going to bounce it over to you, Lenny.
Thanks, Deborah. Lenny again. God, no. Oh, my goodness. So we have an amazing group up in the North Bay. We're calling ourselves the North Bay Flower Collective, and I talked about them a lot during my talk yesterday at the conference, but we're a group of farmers and florists and designers who have been getting together about monthly to talk about our farms, our flowers, our prices. We do farm tours and dinners, and it started off really informal, but they've kind of formalized, and we try to just share resources and encourage one another to grow our businesses, and where applicable, to raise our prices.
Mm-hmm.
And what else?
Be more competitive in the marketplace, but yeah. Be a bit of value to the marketplace.
And how to get just more local flowers out there in general.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It started off really as a group of the farmer florist group. I feel like the flower farmers like really started it. And then we're like, wait, you know, we need to start also bringing in, obviously some of us are already designers, and this designer has been supporting us. Why don't we bring them on? And then Nicole with California Sister got really excited and started telling about the possibility of her and the group starting a possible wholesale market.
Right. I didn't get to meet her.
She's wonderful. Yeah, she had to take off. She is a busy lady, but she would love to connect with you. She just has this... She has beautiful designs.
Beautiful.
She does great work, and she's been really instrumental in getting us together. I think it was Hedda from Full Bloom Farm who started the group. And it quickly grew, and Nicole has just really been thinking about, you know, what we were talking about in terms of all the designers driving down to the city to get flowers. What if we had some sort of wholesale market hub, and it might be modeled after kind of the Seattle Wholesale Growers Market.
She's been in touch with them to, like, find out information, and in Portland as well.
Right, or it might just be a business or a retail front with a back room that's kind of a wholesale business where us growers can bring our flowers. Or she could do kind of have some buy-sell inventory, which is a word I learned yesterday on the tour. You know, import things from other people or even from San Francisco in order to resell. But, it's just been a great group, sharing resources, lots of transparency, lots of support and encouragement. And we realized that, what do they say, a rising tide...
Floats all boats.
Like, there, you know, we could see all these businesses as competition, but there's so much demand out there, and by working together, we're just all going to get further ahead.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. So say the name of it again.
The North Bay Flower Collective.
Okay. And Nicole is putting together a website for all of us.
And
I think really the goal is to also continuing to inform the public where they can get locally grown flowers.
Right.
And what designers use them.
Right.
And support these models. The website, I think, is just about to go up. So by the time that this airs, I would imagine there's going to be something up.
Oh, I think that's great. I really think these sort of regionalized efforts are only making local more relevant.
Absolutely.
And answering that inevitable question, where can I get local flowers, you know, could appeal to consumers and to other floral designers.
Absolutely.
That's the one complaint that I always am struck by when someone says, well, I would use local flowers, but they're just not available. It's like, okay, well, that's why I started Slow Flowers. So you can't say that anymore. And the one amazing byproduct of starting Slow Flowers is the internal connections that are being made.
Right.
It's the people saying, oh, I found a farmer through this site, and I can buy from them direct.
Definitely.
And I didn't even think about that being, you know, something different than what the consumer was seeing.
Yeah,
so
that's
you guys
a huge
are gonna,
connection.
Yeah, you're going to have kind of your own subset of that. So it's awesome.
And something great about Bettany and Nicole's businesses, they're kind of in some ways modeling themselves after, you know, you and Ellen Frost, who are trying to support the small growers. And maybe, you know, Ellen Frost has been great in, I think, setting up some microloans for growers to help them expand their season, which both Bettany and Nicole have talked to me about, which would be huge, you know?
Yeah.
So it's such a great dynamic.
I'm impressed to see that happening now in many places. But it does work when there's trust and there's a mutual goal.
Yeah.
And you guys are modeling that.
Definitely.
Awesome. Okay, that is our 4-minute and 38-second bonus interview.
Thank you.
As you just heard, both Lenny and Bettany are founding members of the North Bay Flower Collective, a group of flower farmers and floral designers in the North San Francisco Bay Area. I love the motivation that led to the formation of the North Bay Flower Collective, to lean on each other for support and pull our resources together to build a flower growers alliance, helping each farmer and florist to grow and thrive. That sounds so inspiring, and I know there are a lot of groups trying to take the same approach in their own communities. Please follow links to Bettany's social sites for Clarice and to Lenny's social sites for B-Side and to the North Bay Flower Collective. I'll share those at deborahprinzing.com. You'll want to follow these talented individuals and watch how their coming design season unfolds. Thank you so much for joining me this week, and please return again as I continue to share insightful and educational episodes recorded exclusively for the Slow Flowers podcast. Listeners like you have downloaded this podcast more than 42,000 times. Until next week, please join me in putting more American-grown flowers on the table, one vase at a time. And if you like what you hear, please consider logging onto iTunes and posting a listener review. The content and opinions expressed here are either mine alone or those of my guests alone, independent of any podcast sponsor or other person, company, or organization. The Slow Flowers podcast is engineered and edited by Andrew Wheatley and Hannah Holt-Gertz. Learn more about their work at shellandtree.com.